Hey guys, welcome back to the Love in Dubai Show podcast. It is Thursday morning and we are feeling the long weekend vibes. We spoke about COP28, the Dubai Taxi IPO, and we had the most incredible artist on the show talking about how His Highness Sheikh Hamdan is a major inspiration for her work.
Yes, there was a lot of talk about deep, kind eyes. So if you're interested to learn more, make sure you listen to the Love in Dubai show and hit the like and subscribe button.
Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. Our top story for you today, COP28 begins and the UAE president has welcomed people from around the world.
The COP28 president hits back at a BBC report.
Why a new 500 dirham has entered circulation today.
And the most successful IPO on Dubai financial markets history.
We have all of the information on that. And do stay tuned because later in the show, the artist who made this incredible impression of His Highness Sheikh Hamdan, her name is Anna Chick. She'll be talking digital art and Dubai as her inspiration. But before we get to that, I want to talk about inspiration for something a little bit different. Massa hit us with a little bit of a mic drop when she left. She said, a cheesecake factory is not a great spot for a date. And I was like, it's a perfect spot for a first date.
Yeah, there's the noise, there's good food. If the date is boring, you can just sit and eat food.
Noise is so important and atmosphere is so important. But it got us thinking, like, what are like the terrible places that if someone's like, hey, let's go here, you're thinking, not for me.
Their house.
If they invite you over,
that's
a no. There's no way. If they say they'll cook,
still no.
It's a no.
I would rather have a chef cook for me on the first.
Fancy. How about a hike?
A hike might be cute because it's morning, it's outdoors. Yes, maybe. Cute.
Be like, how about a swim?
No. No, if I'm meeting you and I have to do a physical activity, that's like disastrous for me in general, physically. Like, you know, it's a first date. You want to look your best.
So beach club?
Maybe. Beach club, but I would just soak my legs in. I wouldn't really swim.
I saw a great conversation on beach clubs as a first date on one of these, you know, the lady Facebook groups in Dubai, you know, the ones I'm talking about. they keep getting asked, guys ask them to beach clubs on a first date and they say it is absolutely the worst.
Really?
Because why would you want to be like, I think it's too much all out there, you know, like, yeah, you can wear a cover up, but
right. It's
just not I don't think it's a comfortable first date option.
Right.
And the consensus, if you're a guy and you think it is a good first date option, I'm telling you now that ladies do not agree, because in our perception, we feel like you just want to see us in our swim gear.
True, true. But to be fair, I did meet someone I really like at a beach club. Nothing official.
No one was asking. But you met someone you like. That's different to the person saying, why don't we go here?
That's true. That's true.
Massa saying, I'm easily impressed, but Cheesecake Factory is not a no-go.
Massa saying she's easily impressed, but Cheesecake Factory is a definitely no-go on a first date. Come on, Massa. Cheesecake Factory. It's got the vibes. It's got the food.
Yeah, and you can end the outing with cheesecake. Share a cheesecake.
If it doesn't go well, you go home with a slice of cheesecake that's going to feed the whole family.
True.
I think something that's not over the top, nothing ostentatious, but also a little bit of effort from someone's side. So whoever does the asking does the legwork, in my opinion.
True. But yeah, you know, a lot of things, something I've really noticed with people my age when they ask me out on dates is... they don't want to make the plan, you know?
That's what I mean. If they ask, they do the legwork.
Yeah, they're just like, okay, let's meet sometime. And I'm like, okay, sure. And that's it. Radio silence. Or we should go out. And like, yeah, we should. That radio silence. I'm just like, why? Why would you do that?
That is the worst thing. We should go out. Nothing.
I know. It just makes me feel sad.
I've had the very same back in the day, that type of like, yeah, we should definitely meet up, or why haven't we met yet? You tell me. You tell me why we haven't met yet. It is constant, and that is just dating for you. But hey, it's Thursday morning. We want to bring in some positive vibes. So thank you to you all for tuning in. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We see your comments. We love to read them before, during, and after the show. But let's lead into our first story today.
First story for today, which is COP28 begins today, the biggest story. So on Wednesday, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, the president of the UAE, tweeted a warm welcome to the world with a message filled with hope.
The message reads as follows: "We are honored to welcome the international community to the UAE for the start of COP28. Solving the challenges facing our planet requires a shared vision and collective action, and we are determined to unite the world around climate action and ensure no one is left behind."
As the UN Climate Change Conference COP28 begins today, the world looks to the UAE. This will be 2 weeks of crucial negotiations, lively discussions, and global collaboration to boost climate action and ambition.
Following on from the story, the COP28 president has hit back at current news reports. So in other COP news, US Vice President Kamala Harris will attend COP28 on behalf of President Joe Biden. It was earlier reported that he was not going to attend, but we will see the Vice President Kamala Harris take his place, according to the White House. Along with that, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, and also King Charles are some of the other world leaders expected to attend. While yesterday, the COP28 leadership team held a press conference to outline preparations and priorities for COP28. And in opening remarks, the president of COP28, Dr. Sultan Al Jaber, he responded to reports damning the BBC report, which claimed the UAE was going to use this for their own benefits. And I love that one of his responses to this was basically, why would we need to? Why would we need to start conversations based on oil, whatever, through COP? We are able to do, we are, as a country, we have famously fostered relationships on so many levels. We don't need COP to do this.
Yes, and his exact statement, he firmly denied, which his exact denial statement was, "These allegations are false, not true, incorrect, and not accurate." And he said, "I promise you, never ever did I see these talking points that they refer to, or that I ever even used such talking points in my discussions." He added also, this is very important and very lovely, "So please, for once, respect who we are, respect what we have achieved over the years, and respect the fact that we have been clear, open, and clean, and honest, and transparent on how we want to conduct this COP process."
Love that he responded to this.
Yes.
We saw the BBC report. Yes. I know I got links sent to it from friends. And the easy thing to do would be to say nothing, would be to just let it lie. However, I think it's really, really strong that he spoke to a small group of journalists at the beginning of COP and basically said, why are you trying to ruin what is going to be an incredible thing? And he also said the UAE, as I said, has been built on fostering relationships with countries. And he simply asked a basic question. Do you really think we need COP to start these types of conversations? Do you really think that? No, of course not. That's they true. Don't need COP. So the original news report trying to damn it is just
defamation at this point.
Yesterday's fish and chips paper, I would say.
You have to keep in mind, like, this is a city, a country that has one of the biggest solar power fields. You know, I know our, like, a lot of the water companies, they operate on, like, recycling their plastic. And, you know, there's so much of an enforcement on recycling your produce and using clean energy and everything. And, like, we're really going towards that. In fact, it's one of the 2040 visions also to become one of those. And we were the first government to go paperless. And these things, you don't do that if you're, you know, trying to underhand activities at the same time. You do that because you actually genuinely want to do good. You're genuinely thinking of the long term, and UAE is a long term country. It is a country that's going looking for greater things in the future. And you know the right way to go towards the future is to be working hand in hand with the environment, sustainable ways. So
on that vein, we are so proud of the conversation that shot down those reports. It needed to be said because those types of publications, the reports can be damaging.
Yep.
So it was important to do that at the beginning of COP28. And then, as you said, to lead forward with transparent and open conversation, which is the aim of COP28. As we said, it's begun today. And can I go check it out today?
You cannot check it out today because for November 30th, December 1st and December 2nd, the COP28 is invite only. So if you've got an invite, you're special. But from December 3rd all the way until December 12th, anybody can join. All you need to do is go on the COP28 website, register, and you're good to go. Just there, each day has a specific theme. Like, for example, December 3rd is health, relief, recovery and peace. December 4th is finance, trade, gender equality, accountability. So many interesting themes. December 7th is general day. So go pick a day, pick a subject you choose and go have fun at COP28.
And we have no doubt that a lot of the schools will be going out to do school trips, bring back those expo vibes. But for the first two or three days, it is government leaders, dignitaries, as we already mentioned. We mentioned yesterday the road diversions, which we'll see Shakeside Road closed from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. across the 3 days of the national holiday to allow for that, which I think is bringing a sense of occasion to the city. And we'll report more on that throughout the long weekend.
But speaking of sustainability, this next story is perhaps really interesting in that note, quite literally, because the Central Bank of the UAE has issued a new 500 dirham banknote made of polymer. Now, the front side includes an image of the Terra Sustainability Pavilion in Expo City, Dubai, marking the UAE's commitment to sustainability. And the reverse side highlights iconic landmarks like the Museum of the Future in Dubai, Emirates Towers, and the Burj Khalifa.
It is also amazing to see to note that the CB UAE opted for polymer material, making the new banknote two or more times more durable than traditional banknotes. So this is fully recyclable material, also significantly reduces its environmental impact.
So this note is a beautiful, harmonious blue shade, and a central bank of the UAE has also included prominent symbols in Braille to help the blind and visually impaired customers recognize the banknote and determine its value.
If you're looking for this cash, it enters into circulation today, Thursday, November 30th. So keep your eyes peeled. I don't carry so much cash anymore, I must say.
I did not either until last week.
What happened last week?
Nothing, I just got cash. So I've just been carrying cash around and paying taxis in cash. And now the taxi looks at me really surprised because they're like, cash? I'm like, yes.
It's helpful in tips.
It is.
That's the only, so like if I end up with a 500 dirham note or something, then it breaks down and then you have tips for a while and then all of a sudden you've got nothing. And then you're left in that position.
But I think this particular 500 note is like a collector's item, to be fair. I wouldn't use it. If I got it, I would just keep it for a while until I was really desperate.
Until you're stuck and you need the cash.
But I think it's really cool because every time we hit a landmark or we hit a milestone, we always release a note to commemorate. And I think that's one of the best ways to, because, you know, you just, while you're giving it, you're like, we've done so much. Or while you're framing it like I would, we've done so much.
So true. It's marking a very important moment in the country's history. And the same with passport stamps when you come into the country. There's usually on certain days, it's very hard to collect those, though. So no doubt in like 20, 30, 40 years, when you're looking back at your passports, you'll think, wow, that is cool. Speaking of important moments in Dubai history, a significant announcement on the IPO, which I'm sure you guys have heard, Dubai Taxi IPO raised 1.2 billion dirhams. So people are looking to invest and we know where their money is going. The Dubai Taxi IPO just launched and they raised a whopping 1.2 billion dirham, which means it was 130 times oversubscribed.
Wow.
The final price for the offering has been set at 1.85 dirham at the top end of the previously announced range, resulting in an offering, as I said, a size of 1.2 billion dirham, which is the equivalent, by the way, of $315 million US dollars.
Wow, the offering saw tremendous demand from international and regional institutional investors and retail investors in the UAE, with total demand for the offering amounting to over 150 billion dirhams, implying an oversubscription level of 130 times in aggregate. This means that this is the highest oversubscription level achieved ever by an IPO on the Dubai financial markets.
And what's really interesting is that you would think that the kind of the fanfare would decline. You know, we've had ADNOC, we've had DWET, there's been so many very successful IPOs, and but it just keeps continuing. That means I think that it shows that public are getting more excited about investing in Dubai.
Yeah, for sure. It says a lot about the faith we have as an audience in Dubai's financial markets, in Dubai as a city, in the UAE as a country. It says a lot. I mean, I definitely did. I tried to get my money in there too.
For the Dubai Taxi IPO,
I did.
and what happened?
But the thing is, I hadn't made a shareholder account yet. Like, because I'm trying to get into it, but I was still trying to build my emergency fund first. So, but then I was just like, you know,
Look at you.
yes, pat pat. So it's like a Dubai Taxi IPO. It comes once in a while, and I was like, I need to get in on that. Even if I can like hold my emergency fund for a while there. But then, by the time I made the shareholder account and all of that from my banking app, it took a while, and then I kind of forgot to do it, and now I'm kind of regretting it as I read this news.
As it's overscribed by 100 and oversubscribed by 130 times. Anyone watching, very quickly, if we could get a quick yes or a no, if you have subscribed to the
Dubai
IPO,
Taxi.
we'd love to know if there's a general public interest or if this is coming from kind of like more investor institutions, if that's where kind of the big level of investment is coming from. So we'd love to know, have you invested in Dubai Taxi IPO or any of the recent Dubai financial market IPOs? Yes or no, I did Diwa.
Ah, look
And
at you. She's gonna be rich soon. That's a friend you need right there. Hi, Casey.
no. I'll
Bestie.
tell you, you know the way it's like, I feel like I should be investing because they say investing is the best way to make money. So I did the I got the app and I connected everything and I put in, I think probably maybe the minimum amount that you could. And you get a teeny tiny amount of dividends every now and then. I think you probably need to be doing a lot of investing to
Yeah.
really reap the rewards.
Yeah.
So I just kind of have a small amount sitting there that's probably not really benefiting me. I feel with investments, you need to be very much aware of the market as it continues to rise and look at other opportunities as it come through, which I have not done since in the year since I first subscribed to the Diwa.
It's true. It's true. But I also feel like when the Dubai financial market like opens up to the public like this, it's actually increasing people's awareness of the market, and it's like incentive for people to begin investing if you look at it. Because I would not have made the shareholder account if I didn't see that Dubai Taxi was, you know, because this is a company I know. This is a company I know I pay every day because I come to work in a taxi. So I'm just like, oh my God, I know the Dubai Taxi is not going anywhere. In my head, it makes total sense to invest here. So I would just be like, okay, let me actually try to get in on that. And similarly with Diva. So it's just really cool.
I 100% agree that I think that's the reason that people can get behind it because it's something we understand.
It is.
And we see the population growing and we see traffic on the roads and we're thinking, how is that ever not going to reap me money? So if I'm paying towards something, why not get a little cash
Exactly.
back? So pay
Get cash
cash to your
back.
taxi driver, get some back quarterly. Get it back. It's as simple
Sweet.
as it sounds. Of course it is. Something that's not as simple as it sounds. It's 8:50, which means it is time for our guest today.
Anna
We're very
Chu. Anna Chu.
Excited to be joined by Ukrainian artist Anna Chick, who's talking all things digital art and Dubai as inspiration. Do stay tuned. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. Today we have an artist whose art is deeply influenced by Dubai. Her horse characters and inspirational aspirations were sparked by her experiences at Art Dubai, while a chance encounter with Prince His Highness Sheikh Hamdan inspired a memorable portrait. Anna has chosen Dubai as her debut location for her latest art collection, reflecting her strong connection to the city's vibrant art scene. Welcome to the show, Anna Sheikh. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Marhaba.
Marhaba. Wow. Put us to shame.
Well, so how did your artistic journey begin? Tell us.
Wow. It from my childhood, I started to go to art school and I was dreaming to become an artist. But when I finished school, I still continued to paint, but I decided, artist is not super stable profession and I like to grow up, so I'm not sure that you should be like one of the million. So, and I decided to, and I graduated university like public relations and advertising. But then I was working for a long time like art director, so like 8 years. And I felt inside that something wrong and I should to try to make my dream come true. So that's why 3 years ago, I decided to stop everything what I'm doing like art director. I leave the company and I decided to try. And I know that I wouldn't forgive myself if I wouldn't try. And 3 years ago, I started my artistic journey. And Dubai was a very important place for me because it was the first place where I decided to start to build my international way. Because now I'm working with New York, Tokyo, Paris, Barcelona, Bangkok. But Dubai, honestly, it's like deeply in my heart. And this is my art home because I was here. I was inspired here. I created here horses characters. And really, and the biggest part of my projects now in Dubai and soon will be in Abu Dhabi.
Wow.
It's an amazing journey. Can we go back to when you left your job as art director? Like you said you wanted to try. What did that look like and what did that mean? And where were you at that point?
Yeah, I mean that I should try to create my solo career like a professional artist. Not just to paint for myself, for my friend, for my family when I have free time. Because all this time, I'm almost 30, and all this time I was going to do it, I was going on to do it. But 3 years ago I decided to risk, because artistic, to be an artist, it's very, it means to have a big risk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you don't know if it will work and you should work very hard. I guess that you have many also artists, very amazing artists here in studio, and they will agree with me that it's a big risk. And when you are successful in your job and you are working and everybody knows you, I mean like previous my job, and it was even bigger risk because I decided to start from the scratch and decided to start from international way. So, but I really love this way.
So tell us a little bit about this iconic background that we have today.
Yeah, you know, actually, I don't create portraits. It's not my style. I'm working like in surrealism, symbolism, expressionism, using vivid colors, characters, cartoonish characters. But this story is about when 2 years ago, when I was in Dubai, I was like all of us visitor of Expo. Mm-hmm. And it was simple day. I mean, it's not opening or something else. And we were walking with my friend and saw Prince Faza. And he was passed near us, was driving on a golf car.
Cool.
And we have really close distance and I saw his eyes. And
oh my
he saw also my eyes, but maybe
it's like,
he didn't
like a
remember.
Love story.
And so yeah, and at this moment, as an artist, I noticed I mentioned some features, and at this moment I saw very deep eyes and I saw very kind eyes. And I remember this moment, but just remember, and after this, I didn't think that I will create portrait. So a little later, it's like 2 or 3 months after, my sister, younger sister, she was at the airport in Dubai. She started to text me and she says, "Oh my God, it seems like I'm on escalator with Prince Fazar." And I just hold on, and I sent her a link on his Instagram, and I ask, "Is it him?" She texts me, "Yes," and I thought it's not, you know, by chance. It's like one case, second case, and I thought, okay, hold on, I will wait for more. What it means for me, like for artists, and also later, three, 4 months, I've got offer to create portrait of Prince Fazar. And I was nervous because it's not something which I do every day. And I created portrait in my style, keeping my vivid colors, a little style of surrealism, also putting my shadow man, art character. People who suggested me to do it, they really like this portrait. But as I understood, they were expecting from me to get some traditional portrait, you know. Mm. And I created in my style. And they told me, okay, but we were scared that it's not super traditional. You can keep it. And it was in digital version. I created just sketch. And I was sitting at my home in Thailand. And I saw more and more the sketch, and I felt that I really like this art because all my artwork is like my kids. And I decided, okay, if you want to take it, no problem. I will create this portrait for myself, really, because I like it. And I did this portrait at my home in Thailand, and I finished it. And then later, it's like, you know, chain by chain by chain in a big story. I've got invitation to make solo exhibition in Dubai Mall. And I showed guys that, okay, I have this stuff, but also I have portrait of Prince Fazar. And they, so, wow, sure, let's do. And we put it to the main wall in just 2 weeks. And I was hoping that maybe he will walk, you know, in Dubai Mall because it's very possible.
That is, yeah.
And he will see it. Then you posted news about it, and I thought that, yeah, sure.
This is Annika posted it, yeah.
Thank you. And 2 weeks after, one visitor, now he's my collector, he saw this portrait, and he bought it in 2 pieces, physical pieces and NFT.
Wow.
So, how much would something like this cost to buy for a collector?
Yeah, it cost around... available price 13,000 dirhams.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did His Highness Sheikh Hamdan ever walk past?
Yeah.
So he's actually seen this?
I'm not sure, but I know that his brother, he saw on Instagram, because when you publish this news, different people from Dubai, UAE, they started also to write me and even posted on their Instagram. And one of my followers, she texted me that this story saw his brother. So...
Wow.
Who knows? Yeah.
But you know what I like about this? That you've still captured exactly what you saw in the eyes. If you like look at the eyes.
Yeah, I tried to depict my feelings. I mean, this feeling about deep eyes and very kind, you know. So I try, yes. I don't know if I could it, but it can, you can say it. your impression, yeah.
I think I can see it.
It's really interesting. You've mentioned Paris, Tokyo, Thailand. Yeah. You're from Ukraine and obviously Dubai. Why do you think Dubai holds such a place in your heart? And why do you find art inspiration from the city?
Yeah, because as I told previously, I was here like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I visited Art Dubai, and then I was impressed with the diversity of galleries. People, they were very happy, you know, it's really, it looks very good. And I thought, okay, I'll try to start my international art journey from Dubai. And I started to create project by project, exhibition by exhibition. And also, Dubai is very important for me because I created here my horses' characters. because previously I had only my main character Shadowman.
You can tell us about Shadowman. Let's do Shadowman, and then
yeah, this is some pieces of my new art collection which I presented at DVC Art Night. They made a short list of artists and invited me to show my collection. So who is a Shadowman? He was also, by the way, sitting as a portrait. So it's like my art signature.
Oh, yeah, I didn't notice him.
You can find
he's
him.
In the corner, Instagram. Yeah. You can't see the Shadow Man in the corner of Faza, but he's there.
You can find him on my pictures. You can find him like a sculpture. Also, I'm working with digital. I mean that I put him in all my stuff. So Shadow Man, in my opinion, is like an image of our generation because he likes to be everywhere, like all we are. To hand out, to explore everything around him, to get some new experience. But at the same time, he keep his faceless. You can see that he's faceless person. We don't know who is he or she. And he wants to keep his private life, values, even some secrets, like this sphere. It's symbolism. He embraced this sphere. And, you know, it's like allegory. So all we are, we need this point because we are creating some images, a mask with family, at work, on Instagram, our social media. It's not the true what we are, you know, you get my idea. And according to this point, we are all a little bit shadow men at some moment because even for you, I'm also Shadow Man now. You know who I am, you know that I created this portrait, blah, 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 but you don't know my real soul. And you are all also for me Shadow Man. So that's why I really like to depict him everywhere because it's something that's very similar to current day's agenda and our what we need. We need to keep our secrets and values. Because we are everywhere, but nowhere. You know, it's like philosophy.
Very interesting.
Wow. Shadow Man.
Shadow Man.
Indeed. Fits the name. But tell us about your DIFC Art Nights.
Yeah. I presented here my collection. It included 10 pieces, unique pieces. Now you see just 4. I took the favorite. But also I created colorful version. You know, it's like good stuff before Christmas, before New Year. People really like it. I've got good feedback from people who live in Dubai, who love art. And even 5 from 10 pieces, they are sold now. So okay. It's so a good bestseller.
Is this from the exhibition at the DIFC Art Night?
Yeah, directly from DIFC. Yeah, this Art Night was just 2 days, but
2 days.
The CEO of DIFC, he also see my stuff, and maybe, who knows, in future they are interested in collaboration, and maybe in future you'll see some big sculptures and even horses.
Are you going to be? Are you going to do any more exhibitions in this? In the next few months?
Yeah. So my current projects, first of all, soon will be project with Etihad. They created also short list, 20 artists. And it's a big honor to be in this list with another amazing and very famous artist here. So they have 20-year anniversary and they will make some event in Abu Dhabi at the airport. And they took my big 2.6 meter big picture with horses, and wow. They will place it in airport for 3 months, and then it will be auction. So it's first project which will be right now. Second one is digital. I will take part in digital art exhibition, by the way, about ecology topic because COP28.
Yes.
And I created also digital art about this topic, and it will be presented from next week in Canvas Gallery, digital gallery. And also now I'm taking part in very big projects, digital project in Abu Dhabi with Philip Colbert on the board. So it's also very cool because he's super famous and I really like his stuff. I guess you remember lobsters. And we will take part in a big project like Metaverse, mm-hmm. and all of artists, they will create their own digital space with their art imagination, and you can walk through different objects and enjoy.
Amazing. Yeah. I can't wait to see larger scale pieces of yours across the UAE, which I'm sure is no doubt in the future. Before you leave us, just a quick question for maybe for aspiring artists or for people who are in a job and they're not motivated and they have a passion on the outside. What would you say to them in terms of advice for going and finding what you love?
The main rule, if you really want it, just you should be you should trust your feeling, because you know sometimes we are not sure like in 100%. If you really trust your source and you want to be, in our case, artist, you just should to go on and move and do everything, even some, you know, little sin every day. Just it's very important to be in a good shape. I mean, working shape. And first, it will be very hard, and maybe you will get some no. I mean, when you will send offers, it's okay, because I also sometimes I can get feedback like no, we cannot, or we cannot take you on the board. But it's for now. You should just know that it's for now, and you should move on. And maybe after 2 years, they will invite you. It's our life, you know, because as for me, I didn't expect that now I will sit here in a very super famous popular show, and also I will get a golden visa, 10 years talents. Just right now, 2 days ago,
I got it.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
So it's like for instance, 2 years ago, I just was a tourist who was in Dubai, who was wow.
Just stalking Sheikh Hamdan.
Yeah. So,
you know, all doing
everything is possible.
Amazing.
If you will want it and will working hard.
What a success story. Ukrainian artist Anna Sheikh joins the show.
Thank you.
Right now, just as you said those beautiful words, Hisham said something in the back.
I have some surprise for you.
This is... Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. With the horses.
Yeah, you know, I found a very...
Shadow Man, I spotted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I found very
gosh.
Big sense in this picture for you, because it seems that everybody looks like these horses when they're going to your early morning show. You're like, oh my God, wake up, you know, what's going on? Because today I woke up at like 6:30 and, you know.
How dare you?
And background, it's your brand color. And I also realized it and decided, okay, I should really to present it.
That's so
I am
lovely.
Absolutely, oh my God. Blown away. Can I give you a hug? That is like the nicest thing.
We're honored.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So,
be careful.
So if you want to see an Anna Sheikh work, come to the
Love
in Dubai
office.
We now have one. That's such an honor. Thank you.
We are really blown away. That's so,
thank
so
you.
Kind.
Shukran.
Too much. Thank you so much. Guys, if you'd like to know more about Anna, how can they find you?
Instagram, everything, and also you can write me in direct. I check it and I will answer you, be sure, for sure.
Her at on Instagram is?
Archech. You can find me in stories, Love in Dubai today.
Of course.
Girls, they tag me, so yeah. Please follow me and stay tuned.
So much fun. I'm just looking at these like bleary eyes
in
the morning.
It's so accurate.
It's so on point.
It speaks to me.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. A massive thank you to Anna for being here. And we'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Us and our Shadow Man. Bye-bye.